Shaved cats.
Shaved cats? God damn it.
They're ugly as fuck.
They are very... That's like...
Weird.
Legit trauma monster.
No shit.
From
no
nature. Like,
it's like shaved cat, shaved bear. I think the shaved cat's scarier. Like, honestly.
Yeah. The thing is, they're not even shaved. They're just born that way. It's fucking weird. And you gotta put lotion on those things?
Oh, I'm not rubbing lotion on
you
its
rub
skin.
Lotion on
the plus
cats.
Side is the cats never have to worry about getting the hose again. So
I don't know. It's an ugly little beast. Might get the fucking hose.
They're hypoallergenic.
They are hypoallergenic. That's true.
That would be the one thing that would make... Silence of the Lambs a little bit creepier as if he had a hairless cat that he was petting.
Instead of like a poodle? Yeah,
yeah, instead of the poodle.
Yeah, definitely.
I've got your weird fucked up cat down here.
Got this nutsack with a face.
Best description like. Ever. Best description ever.
Is
nutsack
it,
with a face.
Part two that he goes to Japan.
It's part
Sorry,
two?
Part two. Part two he goes to
what
Japan.
What was part three then?
Part two...
That I don't remember. That would go back to the substances three. In my system.
I mean, obviously Googled it, so I figured, you know, Google some
I
more.
Think part God, three Chris. Is where they brought all the bad guys to Traumaville, and he has to fight a bunch of them.
Yes.
I know right.
exactly which one you're talking
you
about.
Are
I, think
correct.
I think I watched that in Wonderland one time. And, like, every like it was just like a weird, like, here comes somebody, and he would fight somebody, and then here comes somebody else, and, like, Sergeant Kabuki Man showed up, right? Is that one?
No, this part three was... Was it pre-Kabuki Man?
Part 3? Yeah.
I think Kabuki Man I think was their major push after Troma's War, where they were really trying to get more characters in, besides
just
Toxie.
Besides
just...
Okay.
More betterness.
Maybe it was something
they
else
got
I
more
watched.
Betterness
more,
in there,
more
yeah.
betterer. God damn it.
Because War was, what, 88? And...
Get your notes.
He's got
I
them.
Do, dude. I took very careful notes. Yeah, War was 88, and Kabuki Man was 90.
I'm actually surprised that Troma hasn't done more stuff with, like, the Horror Crate. I don't see them doing a Loot Crate thing, necessarily. Like, a Toxic Avenger stand-up pop figure. You
Dude,
know, not so much, but...
Troma Crate would be so good. I'm sure, like, there's, like, condoms and fucking... most weird shit.
But they have to put a disclaimer in there, though.
Oh, like, absolutely.
Like, do not use...
Yeah.
You, like, use touch these the box and your hand just feels gross afterwards.
You have to enter a credit card to make sure you're above 18. Like, there's no...
It's just like a piece of green chicken, like, uncooked in there. Like, what is
oh, what? And there's, like, a bonus for, you know, in the box. They just release this DVD of, like, all the sex scenes of all the trauma movies compiled
right.
into one Blu-ray.
It would
try that.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
It would are just you sure that...
It'd be, like, Polaroids of, like, dick pics from the Toxic Avenger.
Oh,
like, Toxie just, like, doing a couple of these.
Oh, big green nasty.
Big green. Green, like, just
Kabuki Man makeup kit, like.
I feel like all these things already exist. We just don't know where to get them yet.
They're not bundled into a.
See, Troma's trying to make the cash. That's really what they got to do. They got to come out with a loot weekly crate that they just sell all the shit.
Weekly,
with.
Weekly.
So weekly's a lot.
Daily
Troma crate.
There are, like, three people that would be able to do that, where they're just, like, tapping their trauma vein, like, I need it, man. I need that Toxic Avenger fucking punch thing that you punch and it comes back up at you.
Oh, those things.
Yeah.
Those things. Oh, I had, like, a couple of those.
A dick monster, like the Hulk hands, but with, like...
Yes. Absolutely.
Then you get like a 1 month, it would just be a mop. It would just be a mop. Like a real mop.
It would be a mop.
It's like a really just long rectangular box with just a mop.
It's one mop, yeah.
Here you go, guys.
You know, I wouldn't even be mad. I'd be like, fair enough, Troma, fair enough.
And I needed a mop, so thank
yeah,
you.
So, joke's on you.
All right, no better way to start it, really. This is Mike the Hobbit, host of Geeks Under the Influence, and tonight we are talking all things Troma. I'm here joined with a number of panelists that are big fans and even ones that maybe sang some music involving some Troma stuff. We'll get into that and more on this episode of Geeks Under the Influence, our Troma episode.
Geeks Under the Influence.
I've been talking with at least Chris for a little bit about doing this episode for a while, and Steve-O as well. At least some months, but the reason that we really decided to do this at this point is because Gallery 5 was nice enough to do a film series about Troma, where they're doing every few weeks, they're doing another night where they're showing a lesser-known Troma movie. So let's get the dates out of the way real quick. Gallery 5 is a gallery in Richmond, Virginia, and they're doing They don't have the release on what movies they're showing on what dates yet, but the movies are The Thingy, Junk Bonds, The Return of Junk Bucket, Chubbies, Feartown USA, Slashing, Honky Holocaust, which is possibly one of the best titles of a movie
ever.
It's
super good. That's, yeah.
The trailer looks amazing.
Hectic Knife and VHS Massacre. And the show times are the 22nd of August, which should be around the time that this episode releases, should be the first night. The 12th of September, the 26th of September, the 10th of October. There's a double feature on Halloween, the 14th of November and the 28th of November. You can find all that information at gallery5arts.org. And so, yeah, that's the plug for the local trauma thing. And let's get into who's on this panel. I'm, of course, Mike the Hobbit, host of Geeks Under the Influence. You can find me at Mike Bickett, that's B-I-C-K-E-T-T, on Twitter. You can also follow GOI Podcast at GOI Podcast RVA on Twitter. Or just follow all our social media at GOIPodcast.com. And next to me, as always, is the Sexual Chocolate, the Mulatto Magic, Mr. Lowdown Brown MacGyver.
What's up, guys? Yep, all the honkies are happy.
The happiest honkies.
The happiest honkies. Well,
until apparently the massacre.
Until the Holocaust.
Until the Holocaust, yeah. I start that, by the way, just in case you guys.
That's you.
You guys didn't know.
No, it'll start with me because I'll say some dumb bullshit and they'll stab me and I'll be like, you know what? While I'm at it, I might as well just go full run and just take out all the honkies.
Long time coming.
I mean, I don't blame you.
Yeah, right?
White people are pretty terrible.
As long as it's recorded. As long as it's recorded.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I'm going to have GoPro for the whole thing.
It's cool. Yeah, totally. Yeah.
It'll be the sequel to that GoPro movie that they did.
Mad Harry or something like that?
Hardcore
Harry.
Hardcore Henry.
Henry.
Yeah, Hardcore Harry was the sequel to Pump Up the Volume.
Yeah, Hardcore Henry, yeah, that's what it was. I don't know. I think I got mixed things.
It's just you killing white dudes.
Yeah. That'd be awesome.
Yeah. It's going to be taking place in Dallas during a anti-violence march.
Oh. So he's like, no, it'll probably, yeah, no, I'm saying, like, some Black Lives Matter extremists will get it and be like, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Fuck what?
You could have, like, your cousin sticking a gun out of the trunk of a car in D.C. Just plugging people. All right, so moving on from that. Next.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, so apparently you can pretty much say whatever on this thing.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. I'm into it.
Next to Lowdown is Mr. Steve-O.
Hey.
Who is probably the one that did the most research on this podcast.
I took notes.
That's the most studying you've done in a while, probably.
I missed it.
I'm just hoping that, like, apparently you fired a dude. I hope that you were, like, writing down notes about, like devil dicks and shit, like while you were firing him.
His fucking face was great. Yeah, today sucked.
So that's Steve-O. All right, next up after Steve-O is Mr. Gregazoid, lead singer of the Creepazoids, that you may be familiar with from our outro music, Dead by Dawn, by the Creepazoids.
Oh, yeah.
So
that's us.
The 13-year-old dude-sounding dude that's on that, Greg.
That's me. Yeah. That is me.
Yeah, who just had a baby.
I did have... I didn't.
No.
That would be weird. That would be some trauma shit.
Would be some trauma shit.
You'd be a millionaire.
Yeah, no, I've got
Schwarzenegger did it.
Trauma's producing the sequel to Junior.
It was
Junior.
Not a trauma.
It's getting way weirder.
It is not. I've got a 2-week-old at the house right now. It's kind of crazy. But yeah, that's good. It's a... I don't know.
Well, you're saying that you're actually not too bad off on sleep yet.
Oh, no. She's good. She's sleeping tonight, and I
can hate you so much.
Steve-O has 2 older daughters that
they're both girls.
Both girls. Were they 2 and 4?
Stella turns 4 tomorrow.
Yeah.
And Lydia will be 2 in a couple months.
Yeah. And they're crazy insane.
Are they trauma fans?
They're trauma characters.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Toxic Crusaders, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Trollmets.
No.
Damn it. Someday, maybe.
God damn it. Hey, you gotta set your goals high. Gotta set them high.
You got the oldest daughter here, Chris.
She does what she wants.
Yeah, next up with the oldest daughter in the room, a bunch of fucking dudes that had girls that are scared of dudes like them dating their daughters.
I'm a pretty good dude, I guess.
Mr. Chris Manick, artist for Lucky 13, and you can find him all over the place. Give out your Instagram, because that's blowing up right now, actually.
Manick _ arts. Yes, the underscore.
And you've been getting a lot of hits lately with your stuff.
Well, I actually am coming out of a couple year artistic stagnation and actually drawing daily again. So
in the closet.
That's kind of nice. Yeah, you know, a couple years in the closet there.
Well, I don't think it counts as in the closet if there's like Bee Gees music and strobe lights and like it's really big and all the dudes can come in the closet with you
it's
to
fine.
Party. Yeah, like.
I like to party. Whatever, man.
That's what they call in the gay community close quarters combat. That's a different thing entirely. So that's the panel for this episode about trauma. I guess really the best way to put it, because I've had to explain to a few people when talking about this episode of the podcast what trauma was exactly. So you guys, if you were to try to like convince somebody to watch, let's say, The Toxic Avenger, which is like kind of the figurehead movie of trauma. That's kind of the starter thing. Like if you're watching Doctor Who, you show them Blink as like the starting episode of Doctor Who. Toxic Avenger is the first movie that you would watch in trauma to get somebody interested in it. How would you get somebody interested in trauma to start?
It's like the Avengers, Age of Ultron.
That's no it. Explanation.
I would actually
just like that.
Drop the mic.
I would actually do the same thing that got me into it, man. I just throw Terra Firma on because that actually was my introduction to the Toxic Avenger.
Wow,
and it was it was a very solid movie, in my opinion, man. Yeah. And it definitely pointed me in the direction of the original Toxic Avenger movies.
But I guess that's the kind of the hard part. There is that you know at. Us in this room, we kind of like schlock from the get.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a hard sell. Be like, and all of us probably at one point, somebody showed us Toxic Avenger or some other trauma movie, and we went, yup. Like, there was no selling necessarily. But somebody maybe that likes The Evil Dead but hasn't seen trauma, how do you transfer that over to like, well, it's gory and funny, but it's a different kind of gory and funny.
Always kind of related to the messed up parts of Ren and Stimpy.
Oh, that's good.
That's not bad.
Like, the close-up shots.
Yeah.
They would do.
Like, the real... Yeah. And even some of the humor, where it's just like, that shit's fucking weird. Like, it doesn't really make sense about anything else that's going on at all.
Non-sequitorial.
We're just in, talking about people that don't already like that. I'm confused. That exists?
Yeah.
There are people.
People have... Yeah, my wife has probably never seen a trauma movie. I haven't brought it up in conversation yet, because there's a whole other, like... 40 movies I have to show her, so I just...
Yeah, no, that's a...
One genre at a time, bro.
I'm sure.
Well, baby steps, baby steps!
Yeah, I'm first like, you go, like, hardcore porn, and then you go trauma. Like.
Damn it.
Well, that's like, I could see with Rachel, his wife, or Lowdown's wife, that he's like, baby, let's look at Cannibal the Musical, which is not bad. Like,
she likes musicals.
Yeah, she could be into that. And then like, fucking, like, Chris or Steve-O tromps in with Terra Firma. He's like, no, let's watch this first. And
standing up,
or Lowdown being like, no, what are you doing? No,
I had a plan.
Up for me.
I had a plan. I fucking ruined it.
Yeah.
I'm good at that.
Ren and Stimpy is actually a good call.
It's just
because it's just that wacky.
I think that's how it started for me. Really, it was like I watched the Crusaders cartoon when I was little, and then Ren and Stimpy. I watched that more, and then I guess I saw a picture of or a video of or whatever of Toxie, and I was like, that's that same dude when I was little, and so then I just had to watch it, and I was already a fan of weird shit. So
yeah, so that helped out a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, it was just
there's boobs. It was that's how I would get somebody to watch it.
There's boobs. Lots of boobs. To watch the movie.
Yeah, it's true. Especially when you're young. When I'm sure all of us watched it, and I was like,
oh yeah, before internet. So like, when you got to see breasts, it was like kind of a big deal.
Yeah. Pause the VHS. Yeah, the tape is super stretched out right there.
Oh, I remember. I remember that I fucked up the copy that the recorded from like Showtime copy of Under Siege during the cake pop out scene.
It was just, oh my fucked. God!
What a laugh you gave.
We did that with was it Starship Troopers, the shower scene?
Yes. Oh.
But to be fair,
in the 20 minutes in the tent scene.
Oh yeah, well that too.
Oh yeah, that fucking redhead though. I was just like, what are you doing? Yeah, Denise Richards, sure, but I mean, she's hotter. Sorry, and she's way into it. She would do all the weird stuff Denise Richards wouldn't do. Like, you're fucking up here, dude. Casper fucking Van Dien, you dick. Like, what are you doing?
I just feel sad that none of you had a house that owned Carrie, because you had a whole, like, 5 minutes of nothing but tits
opening
in the beginning
scene,
of that movie.
Like, 8 seconds in.
Yeah. Like, 5 minutes of tits. It was amazing.
I came from a house that was very conservative in parenting technique. So I saw all my jacked up movies at my best friend Josh's house.
Gotcha.
Every weekend.
I saw most of my jacked up movies through static on the TV.
Oh, yeah. I said jacked up, not jacked off.
Yeah, jack off movies. That's a different thing entirely.
Actually, my dad
jacked you off?
Whoa!
This just got dark.
Oh, shit.
When I was in 8th grade, my dad saw me and my buddy Bobby playing Resident
jacking
Evil
jacking each other
2.
Off. Jesus!
You're jacking each other off and, you know, killing zombies in Raccoon City. And he said, oh, that looks familiar.
And that's what I'm going to call it now. Like, hey, babe, I'm going to kill some zombies in Raccoon City. I'll be right over.
We actually ran out and rented us the original Dawn of the Dead. And we were like,
oh, nice.
14. And he's like, well, when I first met your mother, I took her out to a drive-in theater and they had 25-cent beers and we watched this as our first date. It's like, shit, yeah.
That's awesome.
So, that's kind of awesome.
Yeah. It's a nice point.
Yeah.
Very romantic.
Those are aware that it's not a trauma movie.
No.
No.
No, but it segues easily.
It does.
Actually, it does, because it does. I think Evil Dead or Evil Dead 2 is really the birth of the term splatstick. And now, Troma, I think, came out in like around 75 or so, so it had already made its place in the world, but it hadn't really become what we know to be trauma.
Right.
Trauma, until after that. So I think Evil Dead 2 definitely opened the doorway to a bigger audience accepting what was their first big thing, which was Toxic Avenger.
Yeah.
That was their first big hit. It actually did relatively well in the box office for something as independent as Toxic Avenger. And following that, I think, was Class of Nukem High was their next hit, which almost got as popular as Toxic Avenger.
1986.
You know this is an NPR, right? You're not like going in like, talk about my sweaty balls.
Class of Nukem High was shortly followed up by Surf Nazis Must Die in 1987, which helped segue the success of Troma films from The Toxic Avenger and The Class of Nukem High into Troma's War of 1988.
So you did way too much work because you actually hand wrote that. That's not
that's
like
typed.
You didn't copy and paste
phone.
It.
Dude, I did. Oh, sorry, Chris.
There were not enough pauses in there for that to be NPR.
No shit. Pause between those words. Shit, he's right. You got like, you after every release, you have to pause.
I didn't get to have somebody else go, uh-huh.
or cough.
Is like, that the white people version of a hype man? Like, uh-huh.
I can be that guy for the rest
of this. Yeah, if you need a podcast hype man, I can phone it in.
You're like
the
lamest Andy Richter ever. Instead of like adding to jokes, you're just like, uh-huh.
You just call me. I'll be on speakerphone. And every time I hear a silence, I just go, uh-huh. And then somebody else will start talking again.
When your kid starts crying a lot and not sleeping all the time, you're just be like, I got a podcast. And then your wife will listen to it and be like, all you do is go, uh-huh, every like 4 minutes. Like, is that really that important? It's like, darling, you don't understand how internet radio works.
All I would
like,
say is, uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Of course it's important.
Do you know how important Flavor Flav was? Right? Yeah, right. It's the same thing.
Yeah, boy.
Really white.
Yeah. I'm going to make
like you, super white.
On an audio podcast, I'm going to make you wear a giant clock around your neck.
I'll do it like right now.
Yeah.
A giant eyeball. A giant like circular eyeball.
Right? No, an iPhone. No, no, an iPhone on a gold chain.
No, no, we got to do a note because that's bigger. With an app that has like an old school clock on it.
It's got to be a metronome or like a metronome, so just tick, 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 tick the whole time. Super good.
I think we have a plan.
All right.
So we talked about what we could like compare it to as far as how, you know, or what we could use to describe somebody who hasn't seen a trauma movie. I think it's fair to say that most everybody's first one was, well, not yours, but everyone else's was Toxic Avenger.
Chris yeah, said yeah was, for me it was Toxic Avenger.
It was Terra Firma.
It was my first one for sure.
Yours, Steve-O.
It's either Toxic Avenger, Tromeo and Juliet, or... Class of Nukem, I really can't remember.
Okay.
Well, I read about online a lot, but sometime in high school, I just picked up a bunch of them.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was going to ask, what was everyone's story in defining that? Because that's not something that, like, you just happen upon, like, you know, you just have to find it, dig it, or, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not something, like, you just, like, go out and get it.
I think, for me, when I was 11, was really that's the movie that I remember when I was 11 was Night of the Living Dead. I was not allowed to rent really bad movies when I was that young, of course, but anything that was black and white, my mom assumed was fine. So they had Night of the Living Dead at the library. So, hooray! I was able to watch that.
Yeah, it's public
and
domain.
I remember I watched fucking Harvey. Ooh. About the Invisible Bunny.
Yeah.
Followed by Night of the Living Dead. Talk about like a weird double feature.
Ruined your life.
Yeah. And I'm like 11 years old, like rocking back and forth, like holy shit. And then I became obsessed like I did with punk rock later, where I was just like looking for the next fix, you know? Yeah. And I just had to up it like heroin, where I had to get a little more hardcore. Mm. And then I finally got into fucking Toxic Avenger, and I'm just like, oh baby, that feels good in my veins. Like I was just all about it.
Well, that'll segue really nicely, because all I'm going to say is the reason that I ended up seeing Terra Firma first actually was it did come on at like 2 a.m. on Cinemax, so you do the math on that, you know. So that would be how I really was introduced to trauma.
So you're like jacking it to like
and then next thing you know, Terra Firma comes on.
You're jacking it to
Areola
like...
Areola 51 ends, and then Terra Firma comes on.
He's really into the Lunar Chicks.
No, the Lunar Chicks. It's a different fuck. Group. Yeah.
Gregazoid.
Yeah, I geez, I'm trying to think of. I had an uncle, my mom's youngest brother, kind of a screw up, but he had pretty good taste in movies and music. I remember he had all the Spawn action figures. He had Toxic Avenger action figures, I assume from the cartoons. I don't remember.
Yeah, I think it was only for the cartoons.
Yeah, I had those, yeah. And I think he might have had them too. And I think he probably had one of them on VHS. I know I didn't watch them, but I know I saw them in his room. You know, like the boxes themselves of the movies.
Which,
no,
the Toxic Crusaders, you look at the main villain dude in that,
yeah,
and then think of the main villain from Fury Road. Same fucking character.
Holy shit.
Same Fair fucking enough. Character.
Very, yeah. Very good point.
I didn't even think
very
about good that. Point. Yeah. No, I loved that cartoon. That was the same kind of like style cartoon as the Ninja Turtles cartoon back then. And that kind of stuff. Yeah. Like I was super into that. So
I missed that.
Oh, it was great.
I missed that animation so much.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Actual animation? Yeah.
Exactly. Actual animation. Yeah. Thank you. No, some dude drew panel for panel.
Literally, fucking, yeah.
God damn it.
And cartoony cartoons, where they were wacky as fuck.
Yeah, you get hit in the head, you get a big fucking knot.
Yeah.
And then the like,
Tweety Bird noise.
Yeah,
you know?
And then
somebody else hammers it down with a small hammer or whatever,
I love that shit. I miss it so much.
Great.
That's why that still has such a huge influence on the art that I make. I love it. I mean, there's power behind that.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
No, yeah, I agree. Complete, 100%. There is power behind that. Especially in today's, you know, what is considered art now, and like because people look at what comes out now as far as that's is actually animation. I'm like,
Well, I think why I never really got into like some of the later cartoons. There's a few that I got into,
yeah,
but
totally.
They take themselves a little too seriously. The cartoons that I grew up with were the ones that allowed you to be a kid while you watched them. It didn't have the intensity that, say, like, Naruto has, you know?
Yeah.
Where it's just like, oh, fuck, shit's fucked up. Like, no, it's just like, they basically do it, like, Coyote died every 4 minutes in the Coyote Roadrunner.
Yeah.
Like, he fell off a fucking cliff, and you're like, yay, because he's fine.
He's gonna go back. That's just a coyote-shaped hole, and everything's fine.
Yeah, everything's great. It didn't worry you. Toxic Crusaders definitely had kind of that feel as well, is that, like, it wasn't real life. It wasn't supposed to imitate real life. It was a fucking cartoon.
Yeah, no, that was like...
Which, I mean, honestly, the movies are kind of that way, too.
No, they just completely are.
Absolutely.
People get butchered all the time, but it's in such a campy way that nobody gives a shit. Like, I mean...
Yeah.
It's not a big deal. If somebody gets disemboweled or something, it's fine. It's not...
It's just hilarious.
No, it's the same thing as the Black Knight's death and...
Yeah, very much.
Monty Python.
Very much.
Oh, yes.
In the Holy Grail.
He's getting shit knocked off of him, and he's just like, whatever.
But it's hilarious.
Oh, absolutely.
There's blood spraying and whatever.
Yeah.
Or case in point in Toxic Avenger 2, when Toxie shapes the guy's nose into a fish. I mean, that's the perfect example of, like, slapstick, cartoony violence.
Yeah, absolutely.
In those movies.
Yeah. Oh, there's so much of that in the Troma movies in general. Yeah. I mean, that's just kind of what... I would say that they're one of the few studios that you could say created their own genre.
Well, they did.
Yeah.
Totally. I mean,
if you say trauma movie, or it's like a trauma movie, you know, it's because of the whole thing.
My first one was Toxic Avenger, and there was a video store right by where I lived at. I was around 7 or 8, so I think I beat you guys on the youngest to first see a trauma movie.
Yeah. I didn't see it until about 13 or so,
I started watching horror movies when I was like 6. So my mom would already go to the video store. Like, the guy knew us. We'd go in there, we'd rent, like, you know, Freddy or Jason or, like, you know, whatever, blah, blah. And my mom was at work. She was closing the restaurant that night. Now, we were living with my grandparents at the time. So, like, my grandparents, I said, hey, I'm going for a bike ride. Went to the video store. I was looking for a movie. Came across Toxic Avenger. I was like, all right. Put it in. You know, I'd been watching horror. So I was already, like, kind of like you and I was looking for something that would just, like, you know, blow my mind. And I put it up there, and it's, I think, wasn't it originally rated like NC's, like, not NC-17, but whatever the equivalent of that was back then? Like, it wasn't R, it was like
X, I think, back in the
was
day.
Was it X?
Yeah, but he
didn't put it in the porn room because it wasn't like a porn. Yeah. But he, I swear to God, it was like 7 times when I'm renting it, he's trying to rent it, he's like, are you sure? Like, because there's a lot of nudity, it's really graphic, and I'm like, I should be fine with it, it's cool.
He probably approached it like it was approached to me when I did the stupid wing challenge at Caliente. He was like, dude, you really don't want to, like, go down this path.
Well, he was worried about getting in trouble.
Like, it's just going to be nothing but, like, shit and feeling terrible about yourself the whole time.
Yeah.
Is the same thing he said to you when you were about to rent a
He was worried about my mom coming back and bitching the fuck out for renting it to me. Which ended up happening. I talked him into it, gave him the money. It was like, what, like $1.50 to rent a VHS back then.
Something like that,
Went home, watched it, and I actually returned it before my mom got off that night. Like, I returned it the same day.
Right.
I thought I was being sneaky, but then she found out that,
Did you rewind?
Oh, I did.
Okay. Oh, you were kind.
I thought you meant over the titty scenes. No, fuck that. Your back
multiple times. I just those days being gone kill me. Like, even like the VHS rental, DVD rental, hell, man, you don't rent anything anymore.
No,
Redbox really. Or you rent it on demand. Like, you go on like an app and rent it that way. It's like $5 though.
Fucked up shit like that anymore.
Absolutely.
You gotta dig for it.
That was a video store find. There was always some small section in the video store of.
That's actually what the documentary VHS Massacre that is being shown at Gallery 5 is about. No, dead seriousness. It's a documentary about kind of more or less the death of cult cinema through the death of physical media distribution. Streaming and video services.
I can definitely see that.
I agree with that.
There's some independent artists in town. Like, for example, I went with one of our regular panelists, Groots, to see the second episode of Reviled, which is an awesome zombie web series that they're doing about, like, zombie pit fighting. Which is such a cool fucking idea.
Yeah.
And it's actually relatively well done. I mean, it's low budget, but it's still very well shot, decently acted, you know, really solid. But there isn't a market for that nearly as much in DVD sales or you know, even getting it on iTunes and shit like that. You have the option for people to find it and tell their friends about it, but it doesn't have the advertising power behind it. Like, it's not where music is in the digital medium yet. It's getting there, but independent artists are able to find their peoples, you know, a lot easier than film. is able to, yeah. I would say, at this point.
I agree.
Yeah. Like, I think that's why a year ago, maybe, I think Troma released a bunch of their stuff onto YouTube for free.
2012.
Oh, 2012? So maybe. Father's Day. So you can find a lot of Troma movies on YouTube on the official Troma page. You're not doing anything illegal. And if you want to do something, you can still download them illegally if you want to. Don't watch them in public.
Be illegal.
Don't watch that at work.
Yeah, don't.
Well, and really, if you want to support it, you know, buy them. Just like I buy records or anything else, I still pick up DVDs, VHS, and whatever, because I enjoy the artwork behind them personally.
Sure.
You know, and holding something in your hand that's an actual thing, rather than just streaming something, it carries some weight, man. It mm-hmm. makes it mean something to me.
Well, especially with DVDs, what I do like and why I still buy DVDs and Blu-rays is that special features. I'm a sucker for that. Right. I want audio commentary. I want, like, the blooper reel. I want a little insight into how they did shit, or just, like, scenes that they cut, all that stuff. Yeah, give all of it to me.
Right.
And I'm with you on that, and that's why, like, there are definite things that I buy, you know, hard copy of. I want the fucking DVD. I want the slipcover. I want all that shit, you know. But there are certain movies that I'm sure all of us love that we're like, you know, this is not a movie they released a special edition of. It's just the movie that I liked, and it was on sale for $5 online. I'm gonna just go buy the fucking digital copy of it.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I did like three of those a day. Like, I bought like American Ultra, which,
how was that?
It's good.
Yeah.
But I don't give a fuck about the special features behind it.
Oh, fair enough.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, it's you know, it's Jesse Eisenberg being Jesse Eisenberg, neurotic as fuck. You know, but it is good. Like, I'll give you, so it's worth, like, a watch.
If the dude from Facebook went crazy and started killing people, that's basically the gist.
Basically, or what it is.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Right. Well, no, it is, because I would say add smoking weed, but no, that's what it was.
So if he ran into Tom, if he ran into Tom from MySpace in the convenience store parking lot.
And, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I wanted to make a Tom joke.
You waited too long, sir.
You gotta be on the ball on this one, man.
But yeah, but you know, there's just certain movies where, you know, it doesn't. There are certain movies that I enjoy.
Wait, Steve-O, do you have a second Tom joke?
No, it's ruined now.
And then, like, I bought Skylar Perks of Being a Wallflower because she likes movies like that. But that's a movie I give two fucks about buying a hard copy of.
I don't know, I loved the book when I was, you know,
the book's good and the movie's actually good, but at the same time, it's like, I don't really care about special features.
They like Rocky Horror Picture Show. I like Rocky Horror Picture Show. It's like they know me.
So you did the whole fishnets and heels and...
I was a horror punk, man.
Okay.
I painted my nails black and then I didn't like it until they chipped enough that I looked like, you know, like, edgy.
So, I love how you said that. Like, I wish it was a video where I recorded and I was like, edgy. Edgy. It was like a fucking teddy bear. Edgy.
So his party was out of the closet then.
I lighted my room and strobe lighted my room. That was, there was no closet necessary.
Carson Daly nails.
Carson Daly. Oh. Yo, well, you, so that's how...
Bite your fucking tongue, sir. So...
That's really why he wants to be a host of the podcast, because he always, you know, TRL.
TRL. Listen,
we're all about TRL,
my
bro.
My appreciation for Carson Daly doesn't need to be part of the topic of this conversation.
You fucking tool.
Well, he got Tara Reid.
Is that like Tara Farmer?
So is that a good thing? Because she went to, like, hell in a handbasket, dude.
Yeah, she's rough.
Come on, nowadays, dude. Nothing gets firmer around her. Yes, I'm so proud of myself for that one.
That's a pretty good one.
Yeah, yeah.
She was good in Sharknado.
Oh, okay. Woo!
No, she was good in Big Lebowski, where she was offering to suck dicks for $10,000, but that was about it.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah, not a fan. Yeah,
exactly.
I don't know, man. Being good in Sharknado is kind of like winning the Special Olympics. I mean, it's like...
Yeah, it's not...
It's like what's his face from Jackass winning the Special Olympics?
Oh, Johnny Knoxville, yeah. Johnny
Knoxville in The Ringer.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot about that movie, dude. Whoa, what the fuck?
But another movie from Troma that I really appreciated that came out of the blue was Tromeo and Juliet.
I love that movie.
The opening fucking scene is Lemmy hanging out on a fucking street corner reciting Shakespeare. If that doesn't sell you on a movie, then nothing is going to sell you on a movie. It's fucking Lemmy. And he's been in a couple Troma films at this point.
Yeah,
like, yeah. He plays the president.
Yeah, he plays the president. Yeah, I went over to to Chris Mannix's place the other night, and after all the gay sex, we watched Return to Nukem High, Part 1, and the newest release from Troma. And I gotta say, I like that a lot better than some of the sequels from Nukem High.
Yeah, I didn't like Nukem High 2 or 3, honestly, comparatively to the first one. Like,
what sold me is within like 10 minutes of the movie starting, they make a Fishing with John reference.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me right now? Where there's like a weird, like, mutant demon penis that's like crawling up, like, the bed to fuck the girl while he's fucking her. and she's like, oh, baby, your dick feels like, you know, like a fish. And he's like, yeah, fishing with John, bitch. And she's like, what's that? And he's like, never mind. And just moves on. I'm like, you put that there for me, Lloyd Kaufman. Thank you.
Yeah, I know three people who know a Fishing for John. Fishing with John.
A little side note is there's a dude that was in, I think, a band called like the Lounge Lizards or something back in the day.
I think that's right.
Yeah, and he had a bunch of celebrity friends that he would go fishing with, like on a boat in different parts of the world, and they would just have these really weird, like, Jim Jarmusch conversations on the boat. And
he was in a couple of his movies,
too. Yeah. And it was super weird, but, like, wonderful. Where he's, like, hanging out with, like, Matt Dillon in, like, in the Amazon, fishing in, like, a boat.
Yeah.
And just hanging out and shit. It's super great.
I think there's a David Lynch episode. I think there's...
Probably.
I think there is. And they're just, like, fish on some river in nowhere.
I couldn't imagine David Lynch fishing. Like,
That's exactly right.
Weirdest visual ever, like just that huge ass pomodoro like
his hands just in the water, just like scooping things up.
Yeah, exactly.
He just randomly grabs the baby from Eraserhead out of the water.
Got one.
That's about right.
Starts screaming, puts it back, catch and release.
You know, speaking of South America, I'm surprised that there isn't more, like, South America cannibal movies from Troma, because that seems, like, right up their alley.
But they wanted to be something different, so that, like, kind of, I mean, Cannibal Holocaust kind of nailed that.
Eagle nailed the shit out of it to the point where, if you've seen Green Inferno, my personal opinion is that was awful.
Yeah, it was just a basic, like,
I still haven't seen it.
Cannibal Holocaust, I've seen it.
The first half was good.
The build up to is good. They got to the Amazon was good, but once they got to where cannibals were, it was bad.
Yeah, it was just kind of like, let's show how we could kill people.
I think that might have been a line from the movie. Actually,
yeah. it was like this amazing dramatic build up that builds all this character, and it's like, plane crash. Let's kill people this way. Let's kill people this way.
And we're gonna kill the guy. If you thought the CGI ants from Crystal Skull was bad,
I thought you were gonna say ants.
that too. They were more realistic. Yeah. They were more really realistic than the ants in Green Inferno.
Yeah.
So it's like drunk sex. Then there's a lot of build up followed by disappointment.
Yeah. Basically.
Yeah. All right.
I would say that's pretty much Eli Roth's whole like. Movie career.
The first Hostel had some.
First Hostel.
He never knows how to finish. Like drunk sex.
And Cabin Fever was actually really good.
Or Stephen King adaptations. Like, just there's never really a good ending there. Like, it just kind of falls flat at the end.
He's right.
So I'll just have drunk sex then.
Except for Shawshank. Talking about Stephen King adaptations. Yeah, you went there. Shawshank.
Well, Durabont knows what the fuck
and
he's doing.
And Green Mile. Yeah.
Yeah, speaking of solid directors...
Yeah, if you get to the end of it,
didn't
Jesus.
Even mention... Like, I brought up...
The movie's like 12 hours long.
Yeah.
Both of them are like 2.5 hours long.
Yeah, but Shawshank's worth a fuck. I'm not a fan of Green Mile.
We brought up Romeo and Juliet, but a very well-known director nowadays that got his start in Troma, and his first directing job in Troma was Romeo and Juliet, is Mr. fucking Guardians of the Galaxy himself, James Gunn. And you can kind of tell his influence with Slither, another film he did.
Very much just kind of a more,
like, grown-up director version of a Troma film, basically.
Yeah, totally. It's like a Hollywood Troma film.
Yeah,
it's really, really gross.
Oh, yeah.
It's super gross.
Yeah. And Lloyd Kaufman's in it.
Yeah.
And he's in every movie that James Gunn does. He has a cameo. He was in Guardians in the prison scene.
In the prison scene upstairs, yeah.
With the cameos from Lloyd Kaufman, too, I'm going to throw this out there. I don't want to say too much because you should probably just watch it, but bachelor party in the bungalow of the damned.
Oh, God.
Lloyd Kaufman's appearance in that is probably one of my favorite by far.
We'll say there's maybe some wig and makeup stuff happening in there. Isn't there? I'm trying to remember. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
That was...
As well as talk of intestines coming out an asshole. I don't know, man. It was real interesting.
When you make the lower end of trauma films look like the higher end of trauma films, it's something serious. But we're getting to the halfway point of the episode already. So we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk about some of the newer trauma features, some trauma-adjacent movie stuff that are very, very reminiscent of trauma films that have come out, and basically shoot the shit. So we'll be back in just a minute. Mike the Hobbit here, host of Geeks Under the Influence, talking about our sponsors of the show. First up is RVA Magazine. You can find a bunch of stuff about local podcasts at rvamag.com. They have a podcast page, so you can look at episodes coming out from this podcast and a number of other podcasts in the Richmond area. It's a good way to keep track of local content creators and the stuff that they're doing. They also have plenty of articles about local artists and musicians. All of that you can find at rvamag.com, or just pick up your copy of RVA Magazine at stores all over Richmond. Next up is lornadigital.com. Lorna was nice enough to build a beautiful website for us that you can find at gypodcast.com. All of her additional stuff is at lornadigital.com. If you mention that you heard about her on Geeks Under the Influence, she will give you the friends and family discount. Finally, we have Burn in Hell Candles. Our buddies at Burn in Hell Candles make these amazing votive candles that are a little bit non-traditional. Instead of Mary and Joseph and Jesus, you can get St. Lemmy or St. Prince or St. John Waters. All sorts of amazing candles. Also, they do custom work, so check them out at burninhellcandles.com.
This is Mike the Hobbit, direct from Fallout on a trivia night, telling you to come here every first and third Monday for trivia between 8 and 10, 25-cent wings, drink specials, prizes, and tons of really inappropriate trivia. It's a lot of fun. Do you guys agree? Woo! So that's proof that definitely come out and enjoy trivia every first and third Monday at Fallout.
Hey guys, thank you for watching the GUI podcast. This is Nick from Instant Replay Live. I get plugged here a lot, and I'm being allowed to do it myself this time. I'm going to plug myself as much as I can. You can check out our Twitter at INST Replay Live. I'll plug myself again. I'm plugging myself in front of all these guys right here. You can find us on YouTube if you search for Instant Replay Live, or youtube.com/C/InstantReplayLive, or at InstantReplayLive.com. We do video games, we do tabletop role-playing games, and we do reviews and all kinds of other stuff. So check us out.
Join us every second and fourth Tuesday at Wonderland for Geeks Under the Influence trivia. It's not your normal trivia. It's a lot more rambunctious, a lot weirder, and definitely just about anything goes as far as categories go. It's a lot of fun. There's even people that come out just to watch. So do yourself a favor. Come every second and fourth Tuesday at Wonderland in Shaco Bottom between 8 and 10 o'clock for Geeks Under the Influence trivia. Want to help out this amazing podcast? You can do it just by going to GUIpodcast.com. Click on the Amazon affiliate link. Anything that you buy on Amazon through that link, we get a little bit of a cut. So it's a way to support this podcast just by buying all the cool stuff we're going to get anyway. Another way to support us is our Patreon page. You can go to patreon.com/GUIpodcast and become a monthly sponsor. Just, $5 a month. That's maybe $1.25 an episode, and it's not that much, but it does help us out a lot, because this is not a free thing to do. And you get all sorts of different sponsorship tier stuff, whether it be koozies or video thank yous, voice messages, all sorts of stuff. Check it out at patreon.com/GUIpodcast. You can find all our social media stuff at GUIpodcast.com. Our Twitter is GUIpodcastRVA, and join the conversation.
Right. We are back with the second half of Geeks Under the Influence, our trauma episode. And before we continue, we are going to do what we always do on the second half, which is talk about what we are drinking. Right now, I am drinking the People's Beer of Richmond, the Pabst Blue Ribbon. Lowdown was nice enough to give me one of the beers that he's drinking tonight, which is...
I am currently drinking the Hell or High Watermelon by 21st Amendment Brewery.
It's fucking good.
It is a wheat beer brewed with watermelon, and it is fucking delicious.
That is like one of the ultimate like summer beers.
It is.
Like, it's
It's solid. It's actually one of my favorite backyard barbecue beers.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's just light. You drink it and like go, like you said, backyard barbecue. You go to a barbecue, you get there at like two or three, and you could just drink it. If you bought like, if you wanted to spend enough money to buy like two 6-packs, yeah, you could drink it all night.
It's not a cheap beer.
No, it's $10 a 6-pack, but it's fucking worth it.
I'm not normally into like fruit-infused beers. Maybe I just listened to too much Dennis Leary back in the day.
You don't like the grapefruit Sculpins?
Some of the Sculpins are fine. Heller High Watermelon, it doesn't have that sweetness that you would assume a watermelon beer would have. It's more of just kind of just a soft touch.
Exactly.
Very crisp. Very,
it's like the rind.
Yeah.
Like almost, the rind of the watermelon.
Yeah. It's really tasty. So, yeah, thank you for letting me have one.
You are welcome, sir.
Steve-O, what are you drinking on?
I'm drinking Bud Light and Yingling Traditional Lager that was left over from my daughter's 4th birthday party.
She just hasn't learned how to drink yet.
Fucking kids, dude. Yeah, seriously.
Don't know how to throw down. But Yingling is actually the beer that started the whole East Coast local thing on the podcast, where I said that it was regionally local. And they're like, regionally, like to the East Coast.
you should hit them up for a sponsorship.
Yeah, yeah.
Or just not have an idiot for a fucking host.
Yeah, that too. you guys are stuck on that. Right? Yeah. No, sorry for your luck.
I'm leaning towards sponsorship. Fuck it, man. Milk it if you can.
If anyone from Yingling is listening, we'd be more than happy to be sponsored by Yingling.
Oh, yeah. I do enjoy Yingling, too, so yeah, that's a good beer.
Official lager of geeks everywhere.
If Yingling, if you sponsor this, I will be on every one.
Because free beer.
Whether I know shit about the subject or not.
like, you doing all right by there, Chris? Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah, like, we're talking about sometime in November doing a Gilmore Girls episode to appease some of the regular panelists. And Chris will just be there and be like, I don't fucking know. But Yingling!
Nah, man, I'll take Hype Man job. Hype Man job. Uh-huh. Yes, fuck right. You, Greg. Uh-huh. You're out of a job.
I don't even drink beer. Fuck. So we're all fucked up.
I can pull a Jay-Z and get an umbrella holder person.
His name Chaz.
Does he really have one?
Yeah.
No, it was Puff Daddy.
Oh, no, it was Puff Daddy. You're correct.
Yeah. Or P. Diddy or
yeah.
Whatever the fuck he's going by now.
Sean Puff Combs. Sean Puffy Combs.
Puffy. Poof, he's father. He's a Puffy Comb.
Pete.
Whatever, he sucks. Yes.
Yeah.
Pete. Oh, we're
out. He's going by PB.
Remember that song he
this
did?
This episode brought to you by Sean Puffy Combs.
Remember he did that song for the Guzzlo soundtrack?
Check out his
new single
coming out next month. Uh-huh.
What if he released actual combs and he called them Sean Puffy's combs?
Sean's Puffy combs? Where there's like fur attached to it?
Afropix?
Oh. God damn it.
Way to devolve.
All right, so Steve-O is drinking the Yingling. Greg, what are you drinking on this evening?
I am drinking a high-quality high-C Ecto Cooler.
Yes!
Produced by Coca-Cola Company.
So good.
Atlanta, Georgia.
Are you looking for the ABV on that?
I was looking for it. I was. It's a lot.
It's zero.
It's super high. It's 10%. 10% juice blend.
Oh, yeah. 10%.
It's the JBV. It's the juice.
JBV.
Yeah.
That baby ferments.
I've got really.
The rest of that shit's corn syrup.
Ooh.
Yeah. Whatever. It's 10%, really, man. That 10%.
Honestly, there's so much sugar in that. If you let it ferment, it would probably be like a 30%.
Oh, shit, right? Just put that shit in a dark corner and just let it be.
Super high blood juice content.
Now I want to go on eBay and buy an old Ecto Cooler. Right. It's been sitting in the can and be like, oh, motherfucker, that's some.
I've got a Coke from 56 in a sealed can.
And it, oh
that
God.
I when I got it, I was like, should I drink this?
It probably tastes like, it probably tastes that like that that root beer liqueur.
God damn it.
Gross.
Yeah, I wonder what that would taste like. Like 60-year-old Coca-Cola, man.
Yeah, I don't know. Power. It just tastes like molasses. It's like straight, it's like super thick.
It tastes like grandma vagina. They used to deuce with that shit back in the day.
You said that like her name was vagina, like grandma vagina. Like,
you know. Phrasing.
Yeah. You said that grandma, like, vagina. Grandma vagina. No, not Phyllis. Grandma vagina.
It's pronounced Fachina.
but yeah, I just drink bourbon. I don't drink beer, and I didn't feel like traveling with bourbon, so I'm drinking high C.
Now there we go.
It's my childhood dreams re-remembered.
fair enough. Much like this episode about trauma.
I mean, yeah.
I'm doing product placement. You can't see me, though, because this is an audio situation.
You are Vanna Whiting the high C juice box right now. And yeah, it's not a can of Ecto Cooler.
It's not. It's a juice box.
It is a fucking.
Did they get
juice
smaller,
box.
By the way? Those juice boxes shrink?
No, you just got bigger.
Yeah, it's the same size.
It's six fluid ounces.
It's like that scene from Hook. It was like, you look a lot smaller than I remember. And it's like, yeah, to a 10-year-old, I'm huge. Like, it's the same thing, but with juice boxes.
Yeah. Yeah. It's six fluid ounces, which is 177 milliliters.
Nice.
That's all I got.
How did I get through a lunch with that? Yeah, I had like a sandwich and like a bag of chips and shit. How the fuck did I make that work? How did I make that work?
Six of them motherfuckers.
All right, Chris Manick, what are you drinking on?
Well, I haven't been drinking a lot of water recently, so I'm drinking PBR, trying to stay hydrated.
Yeah.
It's super hot outside.
Yeah, it is really hot outside. Also, I wanted to get drunk, but not too drunk during this, so...
Yeah, so you go the smarter route with that.
Yeah, low alcohol... High hydration. Yeah. I guess. I don't know, man.
This drink's like PBR or Bell's Two Hearted. Like, it's like, one or the other.
Like high octane or just water. Yeah.
But you're not that worried about hydration. Like, you're not going Coors Light or anything. But.
Oh, God, no. God damn it. No, Jesus Christ.
Oh, my God. The greatest thing from Heavy Rebel this year, one of, was his reaction on, like, what was it, Sunday afternoon. He's like, dude, I just need a break from PBR. He was just done. He's like,
dude, well, to be fair, man, Heavy Rebel, like...
No, I get it. I'm just saying,
PBRs
like...
Heavy PBRs over fact, 3 days.
That was mostly a break from getting hit in the face with them.
No, I'm just saying, like, no, it's like, you know, he's saying, like, you know, it is light, it is water. PBR is more of a lighter beer to drink, but yeah. When we've had enough to the point of a whole weekend where you can say, I need a break from PBR. It means you've done your fair share. You've done it.
To those that haven't listened to our Heavy Rebel episode, that was a long time ago.
Or watched our videos.
Yeah, or watched our videos, yeah. Videos? Basically, they're... Yeah, we did some live stream stuff.
I got the wet Rebel t-shirt contest on there.
Yeah.
All that shit. Oh, hold on.
Basically, a little insight is there's a car show and like rockabilly and just rock and roll, basically, music mm-hmm. festival that happens in Winston-Salem around 4th of July weekend every year. We covered it last year, our first year as a podcast.
2015.
With terrible audio. We actually recorded it on a Rock Band mic that was yes. going into the
interval. It worked.
It worked. Hey,
fair enough, dude.
It was a little mini episode, but we plan on doing a much bigger bit of damage to the Heavy Rebel next year. So we're going to be coming in with arms swinging.
I like to do the pre-party, too.
But yeah, the big thing there is that the crowd throws PBR cans at the bands.
Hopefully empty.
Hopefully empty, but not necessarily
not
all
necessarily.
Of
the
time.
Yeah.
So,
turn the fucking volume down, dude.
Seriously. Hey, Steve-O, we're on a podcast. Maybe not watch the newest trailer for Rogue One.
I'm going like, the wet t-shirt contest.
You got to go look through our videos. It's in there.
Yeah. There's videos from The Last Heavy Rebel.
There's titties. You'll be all right.
And we will likely be doing an episode.
That's actually very trauma-related. We just mentioned titties, and he's like...
Yeah, you know, to be fair, come on. That's a natural reaction from him if you say titties.
True.
Yeah.
Going into the second half, we have... two of the current members of the Creepazoids and one that got kicked out for appropriating.
The original.
Oh.
No, he bowed out.
Yeah, no, I don't.
No, he...
Yeah, Steve-O used to be the bassist for the Creepazoids before he started to decide to make his sperm turn into children. And that made things all different and stuff, and his schedule did not allow for it. Is that about right? Is that...
Yeah, I was in the middle of my last semester at VCU, and my wife is going to give birth to our second kid, and that's not really conducive to being in a band while working my job at the time sucked, so. Yeah, kind of odds were stacked against me, so yeah. I kind of bowed out.
And at the time, we were playing a lot.
Yeah, playing a lot.
Yeah, that
so,
is true.
Kind of bowed out, let Paul do his thing, made sure Paul was good before I, you know, took off, and...
Yeah.
Yeah, Steve-O was the original Creepazoid, though. He came with the name, concept, all that stuff. It was all his idea.
Nice. And so you're the...
He's on the recording also.
You play bass on the We Are the Creepazoids record.
Yes.
That you can find it. What is it? Creepazoids.com? Is it?
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, just take a look at all the notes on this episode, and you'll find a link to their website.
We have Facebook and Instagram and... Bandcamp, all that stuff.
It's a Creepazoids, not Creepozoids.
So the movie was with an O, and the band was with an A.
That was to avoid copyright.
Yeah, that's on account of lawsuits.
Although we couldn't meet Linnea Quigley if we had done it with
her. Ooh, Linnea Quigley.
Oh, hello.
See?
Yeah, man.
But yeah, with the Creepazoids, very much horror movie and schlock movie influenced. I mean, you have songs about The Stuff. You have songs
That song's called The Stuff.
It's called The Stuff. Very creative title.
Yeah, Pennywise.
We do.
Which you guys used to actually, you know, say this is for The Hobbit every time you played it back in the day.
Night Living Dead. You know, we had a song for that.
We don't. We had a zombie song that we wrote, and it was...
Oh yeah! The blue song.
Wait, you have that song "They're Coming to Get You," Barbara.
The intro. Yeah. We did have that. We did have an intro.
There's no lyrics, so I forgot.
It's still a song, though.
Yeah, I forgot. We had a zombie song.
I know the catalog better than they do. How fucked up is that?
We haven't played that song in.
You also had a weird like Southern empowerment song that you don't play too much anymore.
It was not. That song was called The South Rise Again. It was about the Robert Englund movie.
Yeah, 2001 Maniacs, which is actually a delightful film. I really
enjoyed it. It is, but I'm going to be honest with that one particular song. I wrote the lyrics to that as a complete and total joke. It was definitely taken wrong.
Yeah.
Like, in a lot of places we played. And we're not a serious band at all, so I'm like, why would you read into anything that
we say? You wear 3D glasses on stage and walk around with, like, in Rat Fink outfits and giant eyeballs and shit.
But it was also, it's kind of bad timing, I guess, is what it was, you know? It really was. Mm-hmm. But it...
Yeah, I'll give you that. with the current state of things.
Win some, you lose some, you know? Yeah, but no, we had a song about zombie movies in general. It was called... Night of the Dawn of the Day of the Return of the Living Dead.
Yes.
And it was a slow, kind of bluesy song, and we just couldn't put it together because we're like so ingrained with playing punk rock. Like playing slow just didn't work.
When I saw the progression of that where you guys started a little, where you were doing a little more on the funky, like rock and roll
kind of
side.
Rock and roll side, yeah.
And then it just kind of went into being more harder. And now your drummer now doesn't allow you to do anything but
no
like
shit,
full
that
fucking
dude.
Speed ahead.
Holy
like,
fuck.
Like balls to the wall punk rock. Because that dude is insane.
He's nuts.
Yeah.
To go back to The South Will Rise Again, or Curse of the Cannibal Confederates is what we called it.
Yeah.
Because
another reference to Trauma.
Because you know, we're trying to sell out fucking hard. Whatever, give us your money. Steve-O wants the royalties.
Yeah,
really?
Trauma, who's almost broke. Please give us your money.
Donald Trump, please misinterpret that song as well and take it for your campaign. Lots and lots of money.
Oh my God, could you see him like coming out on stage in like Louisiana to the South?
I recorded the vocals of that song on our demo.
God, you know what? I know how to use Windows Movie Maker. I can make this happen. Oh,
the demo we recorded when I recorded that song, I recorded it through one of those toy plastic microphones that you go into like an arcade.
Yeah.
It has a spring in it.
Yeah.
The dude put a microphone inside of.
Wow.
So that's why it sounds kind of weird. But yeah, no, it's the band. I don't know, man.
We're a fucking joke, man, and that's cool.
Yeah,
it's 100% that's what we wanted to be.
Well, that was kind of the whole point. I mean, your whole shtick on stage, and also the lyrics alone, it doesn't.
There's nothing serious
put
about it.
That you guys are trying to like make a real point about things.
Yeah,
it's a fun band. It's a band to just be.
It's true. There's songs that have sociopolitical leanings or whatever.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
Because you have to, because we're a punk band. Whatever.
Marchants.
But who? Yeah, Steve-O's songs. Chris's songs generally do.
I will say, Greg, you do kill it with the Monster's Bride, but there is something missing with Steve-O.
Let me tell you about that song. So our the song that we close almost every set with since we wrote the song, Monster's Bride, Steve-O wrote in a huff at practice.
About 30 seconds.
Yeah, somebody wrote a riff. I don't know who it was.
Chris.
It was Chris wrote a riff.
Chris came with the song.
And Chris and Steve-O lit up and like found a Sharpie and a piece of scrap of paper and wrote.
By the way, anybody listening, Steve-O looks like the spitting image of Jason Segel. So just imagine like a punk rock.
Steve-O's 6 foot seven.
He's 6 foot seven.
Fuck, please don't tell them what I look like.
You look like if Lars Fredriksson became a member of Captain and Tennille. That's
Damn.
That's pretty good. God damn it. But yeah, Steve wrote that song in a huff, and then the first show, he just like took the microphone from me and stepped off stage into the crowd.
Went,
yeah, which I don't know, not super comfortable doing, I guess. Steve-O being Steve-O just grabbed somebody and
Sean Lucas. He was doing like fucking
Sean Lucas. Yeah.
You were doing like trust falls out there and shit. Like,
yeah, no, he's always on his knees.
Derek goes.
Yeah.
Natural.
So, am I hearing that's just the possibility of a duet? Yeah. Really? A duet? Maybe? Is that in the future?
I always said that if Steve-O came to a show, he could do that song. I've told him that before.
Maybe next time.
All right.
Okay.
All right. So, what are we got a baby?
Oh yeah, we don't know. Yeah. We don't have anything set up because I had this baby.
Yeah,
and my wife had Ruby and
stuff.
So I've got a daughter.
Goddamn Gallo's show, but that, what the fuck is that even announced?
I don't know.
That is.
I don't know either.
Yeah,
they announced their tour. I think
it's late though, sure. Isn't it? Is that like November?
He did announce a tour. Yeah.
Yeah, I have no idea. But
late November or something.
Tell you what, once we get figured out the next date the Creepsoids are doing, we'll make sure to announce it on our social media stuff on the podcast.
Yeah, so
If it's not available by the time we release this, it will be available on our social media stuff.
Yeah, it's kind of on a stop and go basis with the baby.
So. Yeah. But the big one, the song that really kind of shows your guys' love for Trauma was a song called Surf Nazis Must Die. Very original. Title for a song about
it's based movie. On a movie called Surf Nazis Must Die.
It's actually based on Terra Firma, which is weird that you chose use Surf Nazis Must Die. But, you know, that's your guys' choice. I mean, yeah. I'm not really like judging your art, but the opening lyrics are the back of the box.
The back of the box. Yeah.
I did not write that song. I wrote the music for that. I did not write the lyrics for that
song. We beginning of it's kind of a marchy kind of situation, and I decided I was just going to talk on top of it, just kind of public announcement, Big Brother kind of situation, and what better song to do it with?
No, I mean,
Serve Nazis Must Die. I mean, yeah.
Well, I mean, to be fair, when the lyrics are already written for you,
once again,
let's avoid the lawsuits here.
Okay, I have an update. We didn't announce that at the beginning of the episode because it was kind of like back and forth, but we've been in talks with Lloyd Kaufman's people about him being on this episode, and I just got an update from his folks that he's traveling and is not able to actually call in to be part of this episode, but he would love to be part of the GUI sometime in the near future.
Very
so we
cool.
can hook up something a little bit down the road. Yeah. So I'm assuming what we can do is maybe get a couple of the people from this panel on later and attach the interview to a later episode. So,
yeah, sounds great.
Yeah. So by the way, like working with Lloyd's people has been a fucking delight because they're laid back as shit. Like,
I feel like you have to be.
Yeah, they were wonderful.
You're not going to work for Lloyd Kaufman and be some stuck up prick.
No. Everybody's been fine. I will say that always makes it better with a band or, you know, celebrities that you like when you find out that they're not dicks. Yeah, that's always wonderful. But I've heard that about Lloyd Kaufman.
Yeah,
and he's
absolutely.
Actually down for doing just like, what was the movie that we watched that he was in drag?
Bachelor Party at the Bungalow of the Damned.
Yeah,
please, for the love of God, watch it.
Watch it with lots of booze and a couple friends, because that's the only way you're going to get through that fucking movie. It's tragically amazing.
If you're in a state where weed's legal, I'd smoke some of that too.
Yeah.
I mean, even if it's illegal, I'm not going to condone that because I don't know what the liabilities of radio all this shit is. But either way, you'd enjoy it more.
You do what you do.
Okay, fair enough.
You live your truth.
I'm trying to not get you in trouble with what you do, man.
Live your best life.
But with Surf Nazis Must Die, like that's a great track that that we'll probably have as the lead in on this episode. Very surfy. Surfy as fuck.
That riff
you guys got.
That's probably our biggest influence outside of just straight punk rock.
Oh, yeah.
It's surf rock.
Well, and that's what I kind of find funny is I grew up in San Diego.
Right.
And to run across punk rockers that love fucking Dick Dale and Link Ray and shit like that is a big plus for me.
Right.
I like that. And the Ventures and shit like that. Yeah. So I very much like that track. It'll probably be on the intro a little bit.
It's probably my favorite track off the record.
That's definitely mine.
And that
my
movie,
favorite one to play.
Yeah.
That movie is wonderful.
Oh, it's so good.
It's so good.
Yeah.
Yep.
There's like little kids with fucking like face painted swastikas in it.
Yeah.
Which is like the weirdest festival that you could ever go to. Like, here, kid, have like the sign of hatred. There you go. Yeah. So let's get into a little history of Troma on kind of their, I wouldn't say their downfall, because they've been around for a little bit, but I want to get Steve-O excited about something. Troma's War was the one that they were trying to follow up with after Nukem High, that they thought was going to be their big push, and it just did not do what they expected. After Troma's War, they really definitely went harder into the kind of independent line a little bit, because they just weren't being as effective on the popular front. And Steve-O has a little bit more on that.
Yeah, actually, after... God damn it, I hate you guys.
Like, no, you covered it, actually.
Is he on scene somewhere? Like, there's a delay?
Thank you, Mike. After Troma's War in 1988.
In Cavill is Steve-O.
But no, they did kind of see a decline after Troma's War in 88. Early 90s were pretty rough. They had Sergeant Kabuki Man, NYPD, which is...
That was their attempt at really kind of getting back on the horse a little bit. And yeah, not the heroin. I mean, they were on that the whole time.
But, you know, over time, Sergeant Kabuki Man has kind of gained its traction. But when it was first released, it wasn't up to guff enough to get them back to the Toxic Avenger levels that they were at.
Yeah, of course.
They also released Nymphoid Barbarian in Dinosaur Hell, same year as Kabuki Man.
Which is basically the best title of a movie that's ever happened.
it's a great title. Good.
That's right up there with Sorority Babes and the Slimeball Bowl-O-Rama.
Yes!
We need to watch that soon,
yeah,
sir.
Yeah, I know. Did you end up getting a copy of it, or somebody got a copy of it?
I got a copy of it.
That's what it was. Yeah, okay.
Upon your influence, actually.
Oh, so you're under my influence. Ooh, I'm sorry.
You're the one running this thing, man.
I would say I'm running it, Bob. All right.
And they actually tried to tie Nymphoid Barbarian to Troma's War by taking... You remember the baby from Troma's War, correct? This isn't too spoilery. Yeah. This is explained in the first 3 minutes of...
Oh, right.
Nymphoid Barbarian.
Yeah.
Yeah, that baby from Troma's War is the actual Nymphoid Barbarian, and it's just kind of nutty. It's kind of tacked on. It felt tacked on.
They're trying to do the View Askew-iverse of Troma.
Exactly.
Like, they're loosely affiliated to each other.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they had a few rough years until about 96 hit, and then they released Tromeo and Juliet, which kind of brought them back into...
Because that was a really good movie.
Oh, my God.
I wouldn't say it is a good movie, but it was a fun movie. I very much enjoyed Tromeo and Juliet.
Yes, it was very well done. I thought, you know, for what it was.
Well, and just seeing the Troma take on Shakespeare is...
Yeah,
okay. Let's do Midsummer Night's Dream.
Why not?
Yeah. Ooh, how about Troma's take on Macbeth?
No, let's not.
Yes,
let's not do that.
That's a dark... I mean, like, Shakespeare is, like, tragic dark.
No, that's
dark.
What I'm saying. It's like, I don't want to see what Troma would do with that, because it's already dark enough.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, Macbeth isn't just tragic. It also involves the black magic and...
I just hope
the mom fucking one, right? Is that one?
I hope they'd call it McBreasts.
That's like McDonald's parody, dude. Not a Shakespeare parody.
Titus Andronicus. It'd be Sergeant Macbethy Man, NYPD.
It actually would be.
Macbethy Geist?
No. Stop.
No.
Jesus.
Mike killed it.
Way to go, Mike. God, Hobbit.
And then they had Terra Firma, which has kind of been their... I mean, honestly, that's one of their best movies. It's Chris's favorite movie.
I mean, played at 2 a.m. on Cinemax. If you ask me, that's a hit.
Yeah.
I mean, he's all wore out and exhausted. He's like, no, I'm going to watch this movie.
Isn't there a sex scene with a dude in a toxi mask in that movie? I'm pretty sure, like on a couch or something.
The
blind chick, yeah.
I can see myself coming.
Yeah. Terra Firma is definitely if you're not familiar with Troma, a difficult movie.
Yeah, don't start there at all.
No, but it's definitely kind
of already a worthless.
If you
want to
get the overall feel of what Troma can do and offend, then Terra Firma is definitely the place to go. I remember watching that when it came out and being really upset that they were kind of shitting on Jaws. Because the spy guy, the spy guy was just like, I just love Spielberg. And they're just like, ew. And I'm just like, but I love Jaws and E.T. Like, I'm so upset. Like, am I not supposed to like Jaws and E.T.? Like, what is this bullshit? Yeah.
Dude, to be fair, Greg's right. I was already kind of a shitty skate punk when I saw it. I was like, I latched on immediately.
Yeah.
And it was kind of game over at that point.
Yeah. That has the band The Toilet Boys, I think, are in Terra Firma as well, right?
On the dude from The Toilet Boys was in it.
Toilet Boys and Luna Chicks.
That's right. Yeah.
Luna Chicks were in it?
Yeah, yep. They played the house party.
Yep.
What? That was Luna Chicks? Actually wrote a song for it.
Nice.
There's been so much crossover with punk rock and Troma. I mean, you can see why.
It goes hand in hand.
Yeah, it really does. So, there's been so many bands that have written songs about Troma. There's punk rock bands that have been in Troma movies or guest appear. I mean, Lemmy has been in fucking Troma movies. Fucking Lemmy. It's like God, basically. Yeah. They got God to play parts.
Going back to how I would market it to somebody.
He just went back where he lived.
Lemmy.
going back to how would you market Troma to someone who's never seen God's in it.
Morgan Freeman and you're like, the real one and true God.
You know what you do? You tell him to go watch Mother's Day, that God's in it. It's just some dude raping some chick for like 5 minutes.
Jesus. Damn it.
This got really dark.
Well, that was so funny. Or that, Father's Day, same thing. Like, God's in it.
That is the one thing I'm going to say about Troma is that
I think that's a much more realistic outlook on life than most people have. So
that's one thing I will say with anybody that's unfamiliar with Troma listening to this episode. You can't really go into Troma movies with having issues with triggers because every single one of them is going to be tripped.
You're going to be screwed.
They're trying to be offensive almost at points. It covers every base where everything is covered. Race, sex, sexuality, like all
religion,
all,
everything.
Religion, everything is covered everything. In Troma. There are no boundaries in Troma movies.
Nothing is safe.
Yeah, no taboo.
But personally, I feel like that's important to have in a society, no matter where we are standing. Like, we're definitely overly PC at this point, but even when Troma was coming out and it wasn't as PC, it was still important to have that, and also the other end of it, where it's like, let's just make things fucking foam-covered and safe.
Yeah.
Because everybody else ends up in the middle, you know, where they're not offended and they're not taking shit too seriously. You need a Troma, and you also need the foam covered fucking magic land that super fucking trigger word people are living in.
Hashtag triggered.
Where is this magic land?
I'm not telling you. It's not fucking. It's not Narnia. You don't go through that closet and then you end up in foam covered like.
We went over this earlier. You said I was already in the closet.
Wrong closet. You live in the party monster closet. The Narnia closet's on the other side of the room.
Oh, god damn it. Did we just bring up that movie? Fuck.
Speaking of something that could be a Troma movie.
Yeah. No shit.
Oh, god. My head hurts now. Shit, man.
Yeah, I think that's the next step is stuff that's not necessarily Troma movies, but you can tell that there's... if it wasn't inspired by Troma, it was definitely Troma was the gateway for these movies to be made. And there's a ton of them. There's, I would say that early Peter Jackson.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
I mean, you look at Bad Taste and Dead Alive.
Yeah, dude.
Meet the Feebles.
Meet the Feebles,
man.
Yeah. One of my favorites.
The movie is so fucking hilarious.
Absolutely.
It broke a few people at one of the local panelists, Groots. He did it on one of his movie days, and it literally like four people got broken during that movie and walked out and didn't come back.
That's about puppets having like unprotected sex and doing heroin. Like, it's,
and there's a fly that like digs around and eats shit for dinner, and they show it. You know, it's whatever. There's a rabbit who's got like some STD. He thinks at first,
you know, just like a standard Sesame
it's
Street.
It's whatever,
episode.
Man. It's NBD. Fucking funny, man.
No, that's real good.
It's fucking funny.
Ah, damn it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This guy's been too long since I watched that. I need to go back and
get back on that.
Yeah.
Wait,
now that you got the kid, you can come over for dad night and hang out with me and Steve-O and watch fucked up movies. Dad night!
Wait, there's a dad night? I'm a dad now.
Yeah, alright, fuck yeah.
I didn't realize that because for the trauma episode, four of the five people on the panel are dads.
Why don't you go knock some chick up, dude? Seriously.
Oh, you have a girlfriend now.
Steve-O, I don't know how they do it in your parts, but I usually wait till month three before knocking a chick up. Like, I have standards.
You say, well, you have automatically, you're going to knock her up.
Well,
I mean, you were raised in the South. I was not. it's a different.
No, wait. Different time frame. Southern California is still the South, man.
That is true. It's still the South.
I mean,
it's
if you're talking California. Like latitude, yeah, then it's the South.
Jesus.
Jesus.
Is something that I think this panel needs.
Oh, yeah.
The motherfuckers need Jesus.
Well done.
Yeah.
Well
Cheez-Its.
You motherfuckers need Jesus.
I want the white cheddar.
Game of telephone that averted somebody from actually being religious. All I heard is you motherfuckers Jesus. Need Cheez-Its. And I was like, yeah, no, the white cheddar stuff is my shit.
Well, Jane.
Shaved cats.
All right. Some of the trauma adjacent stuff. We've got Peter Jackson. What else would you say is, obviously the James Gunn.
Yeah.
James Gunn stuff is definitely reminiscent of, understandably.
I'm not going to go specific as a director, but I know one movie that when I first saw it, which was years after I saw my first trauma film, I was like, this is fair. This reminds me of a trauma film. Is Street Trash. And we mentioned that on the break.
Street Trash is that fucking movie.
But, come on, dude. He finds an old crate of hooch, some Viper wine, like some ghetto-ass wine, and he starts selling it for dirt cheap, and it just starts melting motherfuckers. I mean, that's trauma.
Oh, it's totally trauma.
To be fair, that scenario scares the shit out of me. That might be a thing that happens.
Well, so there's a point where there's a dick keep away, and there's necrophilia in that movie.
Yeah,
it's just wrong. The second to the last person that raped that dead body, because there were a bunch apparently. The second to last person had fucking scabies or something. There's some fucking STD.
I want to say it was herpes.
Yeah, I think it was herpes. Yeah, no, I think you're right.
Either way, it's gross.
By the way, I'm now concerned about how you were so laser tight on what STD the dead body had in fucking Street Trash.
Triggered.
Oh, okay.
Nah, dude, seriously though, that whole movie clicked with me hard. And actually, I just recently watched that because I just recently was able to get my hands on it, man. That's not an easy movie to find.
No, they recently re-released it on Blu-ray. When I got it, I had to find... Yeah, it's on Blu-ray
Holy
now.
Holy shit.
When I found it, I had to go on eBay and find some fucking overseas copy of that shit.
Yeah.
Fucking ridiculous.
Well, that's the copy of Cannibal Holocaust that I have is before it got unbanned from the United States. Yeah. Is the the imported version that I have.
When did you get it?
I got a fucking DVD. Wait, what's that place down on fucking Southside that I guess doesn't movie really have movies anymore?
Oh, right by the Chipotle and all that shit.
Movie stuff.
Yeah, it's done.
I picked it up down there for $5. I mean, in the last few months. So yeah, that movie's fresh in my head, but
yeah,
it definitely left a mark, man.
Fuck. Now, I like it.
One I brought up was a series of movies because I think there's three total. Was the Attack of the Killer Tomato movie.
Is there three?
You mean there's a third one?
These two.
Attack, Return, and the Killer Tomatoes Eat France.
Oh.
Oh my God.
Yeah, there's three.
No. And I will never watch the third
George Clooney's one. In the second one, and there was an animated series.
I remember the animated series. It was on Saturday mornings, dude.
Killer Tomatoes.
Yeah.
I covered that in my two-man band.
I'm so proud of you right now. Did you ukulele some Killer Tomatoes?
I did. Those are the days.
Wait, did you say France?
Yes.
Please tell me it was titled Dropping Ketchup on Those Freedom Fries.
it was pre-Freedom Fries.
Pre-Freedom Fries.
That's like now the American BC and AD is like... PF and
pre freedom.
God damn
post freedom.
dropping
just
ketchup
so you know,
on them.
Like at my age, it's so good. I'm sorry,
it's so good.
Yeah, we're off rails. We're always off rails. That's fine. Yeah,
but at my age, that's what I'm going to start referring to 9/11 as is pre-freedom and after freedom. Definitely recognize that separation.
Yeah, no fucking shit. Man.
Well, there's definitely a difference on how things were done.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like, actually, to kind of tie it back to trauma, I think that's why now more than ever, trauma is important to have around. Or people that do what trauma does. Trauma is definitely the keystone, but there's a number of artists that are doing it. And part of it is because people are so scared to say the wrong thing or do the wrong thing or offend people. We live in a society now where people are scared to offend other people. And Trauma's whole thing was, you're probably going to get offended.
Yeah.
Like, that was always their plan. And they're not affected by it, because that was the plan from the get-go. And in a society where everybody is covered in foam, basically, everybody has trigger words, and everybody gets offended by one thing or another, it's important to have some company that is unwilling to bend to the will of how the rest of society is doing. A place where you can just, like, stop in and be like, oh, well, yeah, that was definitely too much for me, that thing you just did there.
Right.
But that thing and that thing's fine, but that's way too much for me. Actually, now I kind of want to turn it off, but you need that. You fucking need it.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, you just end up hiding in Chris's closet, having gay sex with him, and just pretending the rest of the world doesn't exist. It's...
I mean...
The world needs fucking trauma.
Yeah.
And the people that do trauma-like stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people that are unafraid.
And that, I guess, is the... that's what trauma is. Trauma's real punk rock.
It's punk rock that I fell in love with
when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Before people started picking apart everything that you might say and, like... Dude, like, fucking vultures, man. Like...
Well, like, an example is what happened with Gorilla Biscuits the other day.
Absolutely.
Where they said all lives matter, but that was taken out of context where they were saying a whole thing about, like, all lives matter, Latino lives matter, Black lives matter, like, everyone's lives matter. The problem is that it was taken out of context, and then all of a sudden people that used to be Gorilla Biscuits fans are, like, shitting on them.
What?
Yes.
No, that's because we live in little clips and little blurbs.
People won't read the fucking articles, much like
the gay jokes and what the fuck ever else is happening here. People want to take that little fucking 10-second clip and loop it over and over again, and it's all taken out of context.
Yep.
And the truth is, the statement needs to be put in the context of the entire conversation and the entire.
That's what I said when we started doing this episode. Is that. You know, I have a couple rules on what's said and not said on the podcast, but I did say, but there's always caveats depending on context, is that I don't feel like any word has power that you're not allowed to say it, but you need to be mindful of the context in which you say it. And that's the difference. Censorship is bullshit, but you need to be held responsible for what you say. And that's the difference. You can say whatever the fuck you want to, but that doesn't mean that you're not going to deal with the fucking fallout of what you say.
True. Yeah.
Yeah. So
and you should be held in, you know, in I suppose if it's negative enough, in the contempt of what you've said and with the consequences.
And I think going back to trauma, what I do like about them is that they say basically whatever the fuck they want to, but they're so wackadoo about it. Where they're
the
not
context
taking them,
is fine.
They don't take themselves seriously. That the context of what they're saying is basically like, we have a fucking mutant nerd that like fucks chicks, and we got like a white guy that dresses up in like. Weird Asian like kabuki stuff and fights crime and you know like,
that's whitewashing.
Let me interject. Fucks blind chicks into seeing again.
No, you know what? That's the name of the episode. Is Sergeant Kabuki Man is whitewashing? that's the name of the fucking episode.
Fuck.
Glad I can contribute.
Just so you know, I've had enough of this PBR. I'm afraid to listen to this later.
Yeah,
it's gonna be good.
Well, we're getting towards the end, but before we crap out on this one, let's go over some of the tropes of trauma. They do stuff on almost every single movie, and there's stuff that's like almost expected by trauma nerds to be seen in every movie. So what are a couple of those?
Penis monster.
There is a penis monster.
Penis monster.
No, Whisper is in its penis monster.
Penis monster.
Wait, holy penis shit. Monster. I think that's an anal cunt song.
There's going to be some dude in fucking Ohio that's just like, that's going to turn that into a ringtone where it'll be Steve-O being like, penis monster.
Penis, penis monster. Monster.
And then it'll just cut out and put anal cunt.
Wait. No, let's give it to him straight. Let's do a roundabout here. Wait, shh.
I hate you guys.
Shut up, I'm trying to concentrate.
Penis monster.
Penis monster.
Penis monster.
Penis monster.
Penis monster. Yeah.
Ah, no, that's it. I'm turning that into a ringtone.
Dude, that shit's gonna get sampled so hard.
Do you think we'll get auto-tuned?
If somebody TIs our ass, I'm down. But yeah, some of the tropes, there's penis monster.
Penis monster.
Damn it. There's a number of them. There's Lemmy's been in a number of trauma films as well.
The musical numbers always trip me out.
Yeah, because sometimes there's musicals they do, and then there's just not musicals, and they just throw a fucking random musical in number in the middle of it. It's so great. It's fucking weird.
It was also like, it was kind of a thing during that time too, or at least like late 70s, early 80s. Like that was a thing for some reason. You know,
yeah.
Like I mean, Rock and Roll High School was that same era. That's like 79.
Out of PJ Souls.
Like, there's so much of that kind of stuff.
Yeah. But, meet her.
Souls.
Got a picture
She's
with
her. A sweetheart, too.
Adorable.
Oh, what else we got? The Toxie appearance. There's movies that have nothing to do with Toxie, where he just rolls in.
Right.
And he's randomly in there somewhere.
And they do that with Kabuki Man, too.
Kabuki Man does as well. Yeah, definitely.
They were in the Newfound Glory video.
Get out. Get out.
Steve-O loves him some pop punk.
No, I love pop punk too. I'm excited that we might get a Lagwagon interview. But that's Newfound Glory is not pop punk.
Steve-O doesn't care what it is. Steve-O
it's really unfortunate that Steve-O's on an audio podcast because he speaks so much with his Jason Segel face.
I'm so happy right now.
Yeah? You good?
Yeah.
Good. You can make it? You good? All right.
Penis monster.
I mentioned on the break that the meltdowns where they do like the Alka-Seltzer in the mouth kind of foam stuff with like green and everything. They've done that in like a shit ton of movies. The Toxie stuff, like the hand motions don't work on an audio podcast.
I was like half raising my hand, half trying to. They do also do like the face bubbling out.
Oh, the bubble outs. Yeah, they definitely do that as well. They also do the Tromettes. Yeah. All the super hot fucking punk rock girls that get. Yeah, that get their titties out during trauma movies. I'm fine with that. Yeah.
Poltergeist had a very nice scene with that.
Yeah, yeah. Also, I watched Return to Nukem High, and there was a couple of hottie totties in that one as well.
Hottie totties.
They used to serve those at Sticky Rice in buckets. Also, a major theme through a lot of trauma movies, as well as Toxic Crusaders, it being the main theme, is ecological. That they're trying to be as offensive as possible, but a lot of their stuff actually talks about preserving the environment and how shitty it would be if everything just went by the wayside.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Class of Nukem High, Toxic Avenger, I mean, all of those really hit on the point of, like, conservation.
I also feel really, like, looking back at it, even once again going back to fuck Terra Firma, gender identity, you know what I mean?
They
were fucking touching that when it was so taboo that nobody was talking about it. I mean,
really?
Well, all right, that was a cheap shot.
Yeah.
But anyway,
we're talking
I mean,
trauma. How am I not going to do a cheap shot on a trauma episode?
But it comes up and it's become an important issue now. You know what I mean? With people. And looking back at it, they were well ahead of their time.
Absolutely.
With that.
Well, I think even in the early days of trauma, there was never any judgment on sexuality or race or any of that stuff. I mean, it was kind of open board. It was arms wide open. Let's be offensive as fuck and say whatever the fuck we want to, but everyone is allowed to do that. There was no separation there. Like, either you're offended by us or you're down. And you're into it, you know. There, and that's kind of what I loved about trauma, because it's punk rock as fuck. That's how punk rock was.
I think that's the best. Just titled the episode that, Punk Rock as Fuck. Yeah, I
mean, because Troma is really the ultimate punk rock movie company. I mean,
yeah. Oh yeah, totally.
Yeah, I mean, I can't think of a better company. I'm surprised that Penelope Spheres didn't do some shit for Troma.
I mean, really, more so than a lot of the bands I listen to now. I mean, they're fucking more punk rock than a lot of the bands I listen to now.
I will say I've watched some Troma movies where, like I was saying last night at your place, that there are so many punk rock bands that would love to be in a Troma movie. How do they have these terrible bands in fucking Troma films?
That's so true.
And your response is like, I think they want the bad bands in the Troma films.
Which, once again, if you're listening, as bad as we want to sell out, we'll give you that shit for free, man. Just take it and do it. Run with it. We'll write something. Fuck, I don't care.
Oh, God, could you imagine if Creepazoids got on a fucking Troma movie? That'd be amazing as shit. Yeah, that'd be fucking great.
We'd just stop being a band at that point. Yeah, and just be like, that's the
Costanza leaving a high point.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know, man. I might hang myself and masturbate to death at that point. Fuck.
Two Terror Firmer, like, on no,
actually,
full circle.
At two,
it'll be actually while it's being shot for the Terror Firmer sequel, like on shot. So yeah, I think we're about at the tail end. Does anybody have any other notes about Troma that they wanted to cover before we got out of here? Or was there ever a Troma video game? Was there a Toxic Crusaders video game?
I feel like the original Nintendo. The only other thing I wanted to throw in there. Bloodsucking Freaks, because it also changed my perception, and I know that they just released it, but knowing that it was a movie that was banned in theaters at one point, and Troma is the reason that I had access to see that kind of exploitation movie, and once again, it goes back to a culture that was afraid to see that kind of stuff and think about it and talk about it.
And that's actually a very good point. And aside from actually producing just fucking crazy movies, Troma needs to get a lot of credit for taking movies that other people were afraid to release or unwilling to release and actually give it an audience.
Yeah.
Their distribution was more than half of their releases were distribution that somebody else made it and they, distributed it. They are responsible for Bloodsucking Freaks. We weren't sure if they actually produced or just distributed Killer Condom, which I fucking love. I love that fucking
also,
movie.
Also, I have on VHS, by the way.
I have it on DVD. I love that fucking movie. But they have like over 1,000 movies that they either produced or distributed, and probably less than 50% they actually produced. Because they were ones willing to actually give these movies a chance, and that's important. You got to give these people a voice. So Troma needs credit for that.
Yeah.
By the way, check out the Creepazoids.
I guess.
Keep an eye out on their website, guys. Which I think is creepazoids.com. But it'll be in the linear notes. And
there might be dashes involved. I don't remember.
Also, check out YouTube. The song that we use on the end of every episode is Dead by Dawn by the Creepazoids. You can find a video that you might pick out a few of the... panelists of this podcast in that video in the crowd.
Yeah.
So check that out as well.
Penis Monster.
Well, as well as a member of another large, well-known band.
Yeah, there might be some other large, well-known band people in there as well. It's a fun video.
Who was that?
Join the conversation. You can find all our social media stuff at GYPodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook, iTunes, Stitcher, Instagram, Twitter, Tumblr, all the stuff. We got all the social media stuff on lockdown, so definitely join us. And thank you for the use of Little Girl by the Gajira Experiment on the intro and for the use of Dead by Dawn by the Creepazoids on the outro. And also thank you for the use of Surf Nazis Must Die.
Absolutely.
On the intro as well, which I'm assuming we'll use. And as always, join us or die.
Shut the fuck up, Hobbit.
Shaved cats.
You just had to throw that in there at the end of it.
Penis Monster.
Join us or die. Join us or die. Or I will swallow your soul. Necronomicon.